This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
Might I start by saying it is always a joy to share to City Church Coventry. Absolutely wonderful. And I'd just like to say, first of all, that I've thoroughly enjoyed having Matthew's teaching over the last 2 weeks on tithing and offerings. And he hasn't been doing that because it was leading up to the offering for India. The fact is that God is a giver. And because God, at the very beginning of time, gave us Jesus, we who are his are also givers. So this morning, I just want to share with you the fact that in my own heart, what I feel is that Jesus is the greatest treasure that you and I can ever have, ever experience, not only to give out for the abundance in our own heart, but what we can receive. And Matthew, the other day, when he spoke, mentioned about Malachi. Where do we begin when we start to give? And I think Matthew had lots of scripture that we could turn to. But I would like us to look again at the book of Malachi, which is, for those who aren't quite familiar, the last book in the Old Testament. And it's Malachi chapter 3, verses 10 to 11. And it is, I'm reading from the New King James, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will be not room enough to receive it." That there will not be room enough to receive it. And what I loved the other week, what Matthew mentioned, was the fact of the widow that came, the widow who obviously had only a few pence, but she gave her all because she was giving it to God. And she must have experienced, that widow, of having nothing, and yet she had received everything that is important in this life and the next. And what I'd like to share with you this morning is how I personally have received the, I won't use the word supernatural, because I don't believe that in scripture we see the word supernatural. What we do see is the word natural, because it should be natural for the Christian to move out in the super acts that he gives us. Because indwelling in us is the greatest treasure that you and I could ever have, and that is in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, for those who don't know my story, I was a single mum at the age of 23. And I wasn't a Christian, and I lived with my mother, my stepfather, my little sister who was three, my brother, and the dog. And we lived in a 2.5-bedroomed house. I say 2.5 because all you could get in was a tiny bed. And we lived in this house. And I had a child. And it got so that I needed to leave this house because it was so crowded with my family that I needed space. So I had a word with a social worker, and she put me on to a lovely house locally that was owned, a big 7-bedroomed house that was owned by a local GP, a lady called Eileen, and I went to live there. And in this house where I went to live with my 1-year-old son Jonathan, I learned how, through the lives of these people, what a Christian really was. And I was so impressed with the lives of these women around me. that I decided to go along to their church where I would hear more about Christianity. Even though I had been brought up as a Methodist and faithfully gone along to my Methodist chapel, I didn't know that I could have a personal relation with Jesus Christ. So I found that here I was, this single mum, and this is remembering 1970, it was a bad deal to be a single mum, and you didn't get anything. You were lucky if you got, which I got a tiny benefit, just enough for me and Jonathan to live on. But I became a Christian within weeks of living in that house, and God started to move into my life. And I started to attend this church that was in Bradford in West Yorkshire. And there, in amongst the crowds of the people, I met a man called Paul Sheffield. He was a good man.
Yes.
I could see then he'd be up the front playing the guitar. And I remember thinking, he looks a nice... I wasn't looking for a husband. No, my nose is not growing. But I was thinking, what a nice man. He looks a nice guy. And but as time went on, Paul and I became good friends. And from the good friends, we gradually came to a place where we wanted to spend our lives together. The three of us, myself, Paul and Jonathan, because Paul had obviously taken it into hand that if he was going to spend his life with this woman and her child, then we had to be absolutely certain that this is the right thing. And it was then that we got engaged on Paul's 23rd birthday in the January 1974. So we got engaged. Now the point I want to bring out to you as a great encouragement to you, and I really want this to be an encouragement to you, that God can move in miraculous ways, yes, is that I had nothing. Paul and I got engaged, and I was there with nothing, zero in the bank account, absolutely zero. I felt a little bit like singing the Shirley Bassey song, I who have nothing. And she used to sock that out in the 1960s, and she'd say, because of the great love she had for this man, and she wasn't worried that he gave other girls diamonds and took them out to fancy restaurants, but the song said, I who have nothing love you. And in that similar place I was, in that position, I who have nothing have you, Jesus my Saviour. And what I want to bring to you today is the great work of the Holy Spirit that he did for Paul and I and for Jonathan. So Paul and I, when we got engaged, the lady of the house, Eileen, who I said earlier was a GP, local GP, she put on for us, because my parents weren't in a position even to even give me £10. They just weren't. They were just not well off whatsoever. Paul's parents lived in a council house. Nothing wrong with a council house, of course. But they didn't have a lot of money. So Eileen, the doctor, said to me, I'd love to give you and Paul an engagement party. And after the engagement party, and our friends had come round and they'd brought little gifts, you know, we ended up having 7 cheese boards, you know, like you do when you don't have a list. And then she just said to me, I want to have a word with you. And she took me to one side. And she said, from now on, Pat, I don't want you to pay any more board. I want you to keep the board. And with that, and it wasn't a lot. I mean, she was very generous. And with that little bit of money, that I would be able to make something, buy something towards our wedding day. So Paul and I set our wedding day for September that year. So I had 8 months to work out a wedding, a house, and everything you could think that goes with it. But Paul had said to me, just before we got engaged, I need to talk to you about something very important. And this is it. And Paul was a telephone engineer, a hard-working telephone engineer. And he said, I give a tenth of my wage to God. I was only a new Christian at that time. I was probably only been a Christian about 3 years at that point. And I thought, he's giving away a tenth of his wage. But I knew that Paul's life was rock solid in the Word of God. And I knew that I would 100% rely on this man and his conviction and his faith in God's Word. And because I was so passionate for God and for God's Word, I said to Paul, I agree. And we agreed together that God would provide for us. And you know, miracles started to happen. And the reason I want to share this is that, you know, don't get worried and thinking, oh no, we're in for a long session. But you know, it's a good thing to have a blessing box. Because sometimes things can just, you can forget about that pair of shoes that you bought for your child for £5 that normally may have been £25. You can forget about the joint of meat that they were selling off for a small amount that would have been more. Remember the blessings of God. And I used to have a blessing box and I would put things into the blessing box. So for Paul and I, this journey that we were going to have was the first thing was we would have to have a house. So Paul and I, and Paul was a saver. He'd always saved his money. And for Paul and I, we started to look around for a house. Can I just add, to own a house in those days, I know you don't think I look 100 years old, but all those years ago, I can tell you, you can buy a house for £5,500. £5,500. So the deposit that you would need would be £500. So Paul and I saw a house, a little terrace house, with two bedrooms and an attic, and we knew this was right for us. And we received, number one, Paul put down the £500 and we had a house. Secondly, Eileen took me to one side and she said, I would like to pay for your wedding reception. How many people come to you and say that? It was wow. So we started to make the plans, and this is what Paul and I started to do. All of a sudden, these amazing things started happening. Do you see how quickly I'm going through all this? Jonathan, at that time, was 3 years old. Life was never easy when you're bringing up a child on your own. But I knew that with God, all things are possible. And because Jesus, and I'd absolutely, and to this day, he is the greatest treasure that I own. You know, I might have one or two baubles in my house, you know, of things, but nothing is as priceless as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that lives in my heart. So first of all, as I said, the first thing was the engagement party. That was wonderful. Then we found the house. And then Paul's uncle decided to pay for all our legal fees. That's number three. Then another friend said to me that her mother would like to make the wedding cake. Two-tiered wedding cake. Wonderful. I mean, I was just like, Paul, this is amazing. And then a man at church, an older gentleman in his 70s, came along to Paul and said, what are you doing for your honeymoon? Well, trying to think where you could go for one night somewhere that wouldn't cost a lot. Because remember, I wasn't bringing any money in. And all I was having to save up for, I think I was buying knives and forks and a few plates and things for our house because we had nothing. I just thought, well, we would probably wouldn't be able to even have a honeymoon. We'd have to go straight into the house. But this man said, I'd like to give to you, or lend to you, my flat at Filey, a seaside town on the East Coast, for your honeymoon. So we had somewhere to go. All these were a gift. The next thing was, Paul bought, I'm thinking, right, dress, wedding dress. I didn't, wasn't going in for anything flowery and all that. I was deciding, shall I wear a suit or whatever? And a friend says to me, no, you have every right to go down the aisle, Pat, in white, because Jesus has washed all your sins away. And in his sight, you've got every right to go down the aisle in a white dress. But I kept things simple. Paul bought the material for my wedding dress. Paul bought the material for the two bridesmaids' dress. That was another blessing. And then a friend of mine said that she would make the wedding dress and she would make the bridesmaids' dress as a wedding present. This is in 8 months. We'd given to God. We'd put God first. And then I think that I managed to buy the hat that I decided to wear, a hat, and the hat and the shoes I bought in a sale. God's major decision. God's major provision, shall I say, God's major provisions. In 8 months, God had provided. God does not have the favourites, but he wants to say to you, you don't have to spend £20,000 when you put me first in your life. And as Matthew has said so well about the giving to God, as little as we have, if we give in faith, then God's word, and if you operate on God's word. And a fabulous story that I'd just like you to turn to in Matthew. Let's just have a little look here. I love this story. So I was thinking, no, hang on, it might get Luke, she said. Yes, if you want to turn to me with Luke chapter 5, please. Luke chapter 5, and we'll just start at verse 1. 1, 2, 9, I think. It was 1 to 9. So it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boats. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. And Simon Peter saw it, and he fell down on his knees. And he said to Jesus, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. These words, at your word, I will let down the net. Can I throw a challenge to you this morning? Is it time for you to throw down that net? People were astonished at the catch of the fish that these men, these fishermen, who had toiled all night and caught nothing, But when we move on God's word, then we can expect more than what we can ever dream about. And the testimony is that God will provide. He will provide. And my testimony to you today is that how Paul and I have seen how God has provided for Paul and I, and we went on to have two more children, two more daughters, that God constantly provided for us. I was 18 years as a housewife and one wage coming in, but God came first, and we were never, never without food or clothes. And even our children can tell you stories how God can provide. Can I say that again? Is it time for you to let down the net? It takes faith. It takes faith to trust God's word. I always remember many years ago when we were in the church in Leeds, this lady said to me, we were talking about God's provision. I think she was actually talking about a dress that I had on, and she had a problem that it was a bit of a fancy dress, and we were mixing with poor people at the time, and she said to me, how can people, Pat, relate to this silk dress on the poverty end with you dressed like this? I mean, I didn't fall out with her, I might tell you. I did not fall out with this, what she said to me. And I said to her, of course I can relate to her with this 50 pence dress from the local jumble sale. Of course I can relate to her. You see, my mum used to say, never judge a book by its cover. There's far more to people that you and I will ever know about. Yeah. But the wonderful thing is, God knows. Yeah. Don't go around judging people. And, you know, I say this because God wants to give you the very, very best. He wants you to see that He is the treasure. He can be your treasure. And He can give you treasures. God is always there for you and I, never to disappoint us. But the thing we have to wait for is time, because everything takes time. But God is such an excellent God. And in the 18 years that I was a housewife and there was one wage coming in and we had lots of people live with us for a year at a time, somebody had been homeless for a while and I'd say, yeah, come, you can come to our house for a couple of weeks. A year later, they're still there. And but God would provide. God provided for us. So I just... And it has to be a personal walk and a personal journey of faith. When this lady was saying to me about the clothes and not realising that God can come up with anything, anything. Don't, you know, put him to one side and think, you know, it's all right for Pat Sheffield or it's all right for Matthew Ling. Or God wants the best for you. He wants you to have the best that he could possibly give, that you would require. You know, the best house you would like, the car or whatever it might be, all he asks you is just look to him for wisdom and step by step God will give you and he will bring the best wife. I was there as a single mother at 23 thinking, who would want me? Who would want me? I did look different then, of course. We're talking 47 years ago. But who would want me? Second-hand rose with a child on toe. But God says, I'll have you. I'll take you. I'll make something from you. Because I can do anything, Pat. I can do anything. And we stand, as what we've been singing, as a testimony. I think one of the songs this morning was, a testimony that will glorify God. Not us personally, but it will glorify God. Thank you for listening. Thank you. I just pray that you'll take on board what I've just been saying as an encouragement that God is no man's debtor And he wants for you the very best, because he is the greatest treasure that you and I can ever own. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this teaching from City Church Coventry. You can find more great teaching and other resources on our website at www.citychurchcoventry.org.